When the world's gone to shit and the dead walk among the living, the only thing left that matters is family. Hi, hello, everybody. My name is Turk, and welcome back to the Grouch Couch. We're continuing our solo TTRPG with The Walking Dead and Mythic 2nd Edition. I'm excited to be back here doing this here series. I've had a lot of fun with it, and I think we're officially calling the series Family Survives Together is what the official name of this is going to be, and we are continuing on The Legend of the Writers, which I think is another fun name for it. I just want to remind all of you guys that if you're interested in doing a solo RPG play yourself, or you want to pick up The Walking Dead or Mythic, anything like that, you can use our drive-through RPG link down in the description to help support the show. I'm also going to be doing a Walking Dead review. If you want to know my thoughts on this system as a whole, you can check out that video as well. Should be good.
And don't forget to like and subscribe because it helps me out a lot. So please like and subscribe. Thank you.
All right, so when we last left off, Jesse finally got a hold of Aiden, which is wonderful, but their call was interrupted by someone else. Someone by the name of Cece. We don't know a lot about Cece, but we do know that she's a biologist, and we know that Cece was trapped at the fair. She went there trying to get parts for something that she was trying to rig together and got stuck. So Aiden encouraged us to save her before we go back to get Aiden. Might be able to help her, and she's trapped with her dog, by the way, and we don't actually know a lot about her, but if we can get to her and we can save her, we might actually get to add her to our party as a PC anchor, and we get to create another character for our party list. And our story today is going to start as we're pulling into the parking lot of the fairgrounds the next town over, into the town of Licoria. In the town of Licoria, being that this is our first scene here, but it's a continuation from last time. First, we're going to roll to see if there's any kind of scene alteration or if it plays together as normal. Oh, also, our last scene ended, and I never raised the chaos factor. And when you raise it, it's if you think your character was in control of the scene. And I thought that the car gang was going to catch up to us and take us out. And the only one thing kind of bad happened to Jesse. So I think we're actually going to be raising the chaos factor here. So today is going to be a little crazy. All right. We're going up to chaos factor 7. And we're going to see if there's any kind of scene alteration. We got a 6. Interruption event. Okay. Interruption event. Introduce a new NPC. Vengeance. Status quo. So before we even roll to see what's going on in this parking lot, we're immediately interrupted, is what this means. Start describing. We'll see what happens here. I think Jesse gets out of his car, and before he even has a chance to look around, he hears the faint sound of footsteps crunching on the gravel behind him. He turns around, and he sees a figure step out of the shadows of the collapsed ticket booth. He's probably carrying a weapon, some kind of makeshift spear covered in blood. And if he's out here, he moves with precision. You know, someone used to danger. And the man approaches. Motivations. Environment adventure. Okay. That means could be good. Names. Torka. Torka? Torka. Maybe he's like Native American man. His spear has like feathers on it and stuff. And his name maybe literally is Torka. It's literally what I'm thinking. And so Torka walks right up to Jesse as he shuts his car door. And Jesse looks at him and he goes, "Hey, friend. Friend or foe?" As he holds out his axe. And Torka introduces himself. He says, "Howdy. I am Torka. I come here in sense of adventure. I come to experience the fair. With no lines, it'd be easy to just ride. I'm here to experience the world. May it be that the world has ended. We can still have a little bit of fun. Okay. Well, I'm here to try and save someone, friend.
Someone by the name of Cece. She's trapped here at the fair.
Oh, and I can't forget. Vengeance and status quo. So there has to be something going on with vengeance here. So maybe...
But also, I must tell you, friend. I've also been tracking a group of raiders. They've been preying on survivors here in our town of Lucoria. They've left behind a trail of death and destruction. This fairground used to be one of their hideouts. So my motives were dual. Have fun here at the fair and also take out these raiders. So if we go in here together, if we see them, just know my true goal is to kill those who don't let others be free. In the world of the apocalypse, Torka says, we can all be free.
I think as he says stuff about killing people, I think Jesse's like, because Jesse won't kill human beings. That's one of his issues. And so I think tension kind of rises when he's talking about killing these raiders. Even though these raiders are bad people, I think Jesse shifts his feet a little bit in the dirt and squeezes his axe. And Jesse knows now he has a choice. He can help them track the raiders by also getting his help to get into the fair, or he can just stay out of his way. I think Jesse's going to agree to help him because they both have similar motives, and Jesse doesn't really trust him just yet. So we're not going to create a character sheet for Torka because we don't know exactly what's going to happen with Torka, but Torka is going to join us in going into the fair together. And I think it's been a little while since Jesse has had anyone to actually talk to. I mean, he's been in his truck for so long by himself. He's only really talked to his brother and, of course, Vicky, the evil lady she was. So I think while they're walking across the parking lot, their footsteps on the gravel, they're walking in silence. But I think Jesse wants to learn a little bit more about him. So he's like, so where are you from, Torka?
Well, I'm a traveler of sorts. I go from place to place. Before the apocalypse, I was living in my van, playing music, getting by however I could.
You got a van?
Well, this is actually a roll here. I can't just say no. Does Torka still have his van? This is a weird fake question to roll on. I want to learn more about Torka. So, all right, Torka, you still got your van? Fake question. 50-50. Yes. Sweet. So, Torka's like,
yeah. Still got my van.
What is the quality of this van? We got another roll chart for this. Let's use it. Vehicle condition. Roll. Functional, but breaks down after driving D6 sectors. Okay, yeah.
So he's like, yeah, but it's not like, you know, it doesn't... I've driven it across the U.S. So, you know, it's not that great of repair.
And Jesse's like, across the U.S., you say? I used to be a truck driver myself, so I've seen a lot of places.
And Torka's like, really? So you're also a traveler?
He's like, I guess. Yeah.
And as he says that, they're going to approach the gate. I think in main gate of this here fairgrounds. And they're going to look out. And I need to know the threat level here. What are we looking at out there? How many walkers are there? All right. Random threat level. Boy, that took forever. But I found, I found the threat level. So, I don't know, but it's a 3. The walkers are aware of you. All nearby walkers will shamble towards you, and you must fight to get out alive. All PCs present take 1 point of stress. Me and Torka both take 1 level of stress. We'll just remember that. We don't have his character sheet yet, but we get up to the gate, and as soon as we get up, we turn the corner and get right to the gate, and all of these walkers' arms just all along the gate. There's just hundreds of bloody hands and, like, nubs and, like, teeth that just come, like, reaching out. And I want to see what else is going on here. Because that happens, and we immediately jump back. Both of us, we take a level of stress and we're like, oh crap, like we're gonna have to find another way around here. So we're gonna roll a scouting roll just to see if we can find another way. And hopefully we can help this lady, you know. Scouting roll, we just need 1 success. We've got 5 dice. We got 1 success, dude. Super cool. plus one stress dice, which we actually did roll and everything's fine. That's why it was red. I don't know if you've seen that. Very cool how it does that in this system, if you're actually watching and not just listening. Very cool. Okay, so we found something. Discovery meaning. Just give me a descriptor to what entrance did we find. Gratefully forlorn. What are up with these descriptors today? Okay, gratefully forlorn. Let's set the scene here, shall we? Jesse and Torka take a step back. They can't get through here, so they start scouting the perimeter of this apocalyptic fairground. I mean, which is crawling with zombies. I imagine the Ferris wheel in the background creaks ominously in the wind, and the sound of groaning undead is just filling the air. So their goal is to get inside to try and find Cece, and Torka wants to see if he can find the raiders in there or some sign of them. So while circling the outer perimeter of the fair, I think Jesse spots a partially collapsed utility building near the edge of the grounds. There's a faint path to it through like overgrown bushes and stuff that leads them to an old forlorn entrance, an old maintenance hatch embedded in the ground, a grate. But it's old and forlorn. The hatch, old and corroded. Maybe its metal hinges are streaked with rust. And there's like a faded amusement park logo on it or something that's like barely clinging to its surface. And they both stand in front of it. And I think Jesse turns to Torka and says, This could be it. Should we give it a try? Looks like it goes underground. Might be a path to the inside, so we don't have to deal with the dead. They could also be dead down there. And Torka goes, well, yeah, you know, I've never been in, like, underground area before. Hey, I'm all about experiencing life, friend. So let's do it together. And, hey, maybe I'll write a song about this later. Jesse's gonna take his axe, and he's gonna try to pry open this old, rusted and corroded hatch. We're going to roll us a strength force, which we really don't have here. But we got a success. That's what I'm talking about. So, ping, the hatch comes open, and I feel like a smell of like mildew just wafts when he pries it open. Even though their hatch is kind of their only way in, I still think maybe Jesse and Torka are like a little bit uneasy about it when they see there's like an emergency exit sign down there. So there's like a contrast between gratitude for finding a way forward, but it's a little bit of tension here because it's like, ah, man, a lot of people died because they forgot about this. One by one, of course, Torka goes first down the hatch. He's excited about this. They get down to the bottom, and I picture there's still a little bit of power here, so there's probably like lights blinking. Again, we're early in the apocalypse, so they're like flickering, and you could hear like dripping water. And down behind him comes Jesse. The hatch leads to probably a network of old maintenance tunnels beneath the fairground. The tunnels are probably real dark and narrow. Little layer of water on the ground, probably some old discarded uniforms and tools, and maybe even some skeletal remains of workers who tried to search refuge during the early days of the outbreak. That's what my imagination is telling me. And they see some old workers that look like they might have been huddled down together trying not to get hurt, and they're in like worker uniforms for the fair, like orange jumpsuits. They got hard hats on. And then as they hit the floor, one of them makes noise, like, reaches its hand out. One of them's undead now and alive. So dealing with a single zombie, we only need one single success. It's at this point I really wish I had a character sheet for Torka, but what I'm going to do is I'm just going to roll a quick strength close combat check for both of them and use the same dice pool for both. All right, so they're both just going to turn and immediately go to take this thing out. And if they both hit, cool. It's like a combo. We got zero successes for Torka. All right, Jesse, what about you? Two successes. So Torka
tries to swing and a miss, and Jesse looks at him and he's like, "You don't have much practice in this, do you?" And he shrugs, and Jesse just brings down his axe right through the hard hat and into the face of the zombie. And then they look out towards the dark passage. And we're in a new scene, I think. I think this should be a new scene. Although there not a lot happened in the first scene. Although my recording is extremely long because I was reading rules for a while there. A chaos thing did happen. For our new scene, since we actually had an altered scene last time, I'm actually going to take the chaos factor down one. Because I do not think that he was in control of the scene or anything else like that. So our chaos factor is going back down to 6. And they're going to stand and look out towards this here darkened tunnel. Okay, we're back. It's been 3 hours. You don't know that. So we're here and we're in the darkened tunnel. It's the top of the scene. So the first thing we're going to do is roll to see if there's any kind of a scene alteration happening here. Or if it's just a tunnel we can just get through. Scene alteration, chaos rank currently 6. That's a 6. But we've got scene alteration. Seed proceeds normally. Very good, as you can see down there. So what that means now then is we're going to roll. I think I'm going to do element meaning locations. But I'm going to do dungeon. Abandoned and quiet. I don't like that because that's kind of boring. But in my head, whenever I play these games, I'm very much so a visual kind of guy. So I see these two walking and sloshing to the water, and they're all holding their weapons out as the lights are all blinking around them as they're sloshing through. And at the end, it's just getting darker and darker as they keep going in deeper and deeper. How long is this tunnel? I'm going to roll a fate question on a 50-50. And yes means it's long and no means it's short. Let's go. Yes. A roll of 50, which means it's just a little bit long. It's not that long, though, because it's exactly a 50, which is crazy, first of all. So we get all the way to the exit. What does the exit look like here? Discovery meaning descriptions. Softly shocking. I mean, like, in a literal sense, Torka reaches out to grab the ladder, and it shocks him a little bit. And he goes, "Oh, Jesse, don't touch the ladder. It's just shocked me." And Jesse goes, "What? Let me see this." And he's gonna figure out what's going on here. I really kind of want to roll tech, but I don't have anything in tech. So we're just gonna do wits, survival, to see if he can figure out why this thing is shocking. We got one success. So he looks at it. He knows what's going on. He can see the water that they were sloshing through has like started seeping into the wall, and a bunch of the wall is like wet. Maybe that's where the water is dripping from. The water is dripping from above them. And it's dripping down the wall onto the ground. And he looks, you can see on the wall there's a plug that is just completely soaked. Which in turn means that the ladder is wet and soaked. He goes, "Okay, so the plug is making the ladder electrocute. How do we get past this?" I imagine it's an underground tunnel. So the walls are like concrete. So you can't just smash open the wall and, you know, figure it out. So if we look at our talents here, he's got handy. So with a little bit of time and some tools, you can repair most things, even if you don't have the right parts. You also get a +2 to tech when you repair things as a project. This definitely isn't a project. You all can't see that. It's right here. This definitely isn't a project, but he could try and repair this. It just takes time. Time really isn't on our side. So he's going to look over to Torka. He's going to say, "Torka, do you know anything about tech, mechanics, electricity?" And we're going to roll a fate question. I'm completely unsure on this, but this will help us build out his character sheet later, so let's see. Yes, he does, but we got 33, which makes it a random event. An unexpected random event, NPC action, starting business. Right now, Torka is technically an NPC. So, unexpected starting business.
on a yes question of if he knows anything about tech. Torka pulls off his backpack. And Torka looks up at Jesse and he winks and he sets his backpack down on like a little shitty table and he starts shuffling through things. And he says, actually, Jesse, I was on the road in my van, but I would actually make cash by helping people fix their computers. And so I've actually got some tools here. Then he pulls out a screwdriver, like a really nice one, like Linus Tech Tips kind of style screwdriver, goes over the wall and he unscrews the screws and pulls the plug out, and he gets out some little wire cutters and snips the positive cable. And he's like, yeah, good to go. I actually had a business fixing electrical things. I'm pretty handy when it comes to that kind of stuff. And Jesse's like, well, I'm happy to have you, Torka. It's good to have you here. What do we know about Torka so far? He's a traveler who plays music and was really into tech and could fix computers. Heck yeah. Okay, now that it's all done, they climb up the ladder. Now, as we already kind of established, is that water is leaking all through this grate that is on top of this thing. There's just a hell of water just leaking down in here. Why, we don't know, but they get to the top and they're going to push it open, and a bunch of water is just going to flow down all into the ground and get them all a little bit wet, which is kind of a bummer. But then they push up and they're inside of the fair somewhere. What area are they in? I'm still going to keep this the same scene because almost nothing happened in that tunnel. Element meaning locations. Impressive, but calm. So as we get out then, we're deep into the fair as we step out here. Are we, like, impressive? I think this has to be the large, impressive Ferris wheel. Is this the Ferris wheel? I'm going to call it pretty likely, very likely. Yes, but we got another chaos. Jesus, random event. Unexpected random event. Move towards a thread. Procrastinate victory. Move towards a thread. That's great, because if we look at our threads list, we have Get Over My Brother, Is My Old Gang Alive, and Save CC. We can't necessarily get home to our little brother right now, but we're here to save CC. So we're moving towards the thread. Procrastinate victory. I don't know what exactly that means. It doesn't mean much to me right now, but it might in a second. It's calm. It's impressively calm. So we're deep in the fair. We turn, we can look a couple hundred yards, like the length of the tunnel, is the gate, and all of the Zeds are just pushing up against that gate, leaving this area kind of free for us right now. And we look up and we see the Ferris wheel. It's huge. It's impressively huge. But everything around us is nice and calm. And Torka's like, starts looking around. He's like looking on the ground and other kinds of stuff. And Jesse looks at him, remembers that he's here to try and find those raiders that were killing people because he wants vengeance against them. But that's not why we're here. We're moving towards our thread because as we look up, we see standing on the Ferris wheel is a woman. Wouldn't it be some shit if she just pulled out a rifle and just shot us? End of story. Moving on. The story is done because she totally has a vantage point against us right now, which I think kind of makes Jesse a little bit weary. So he actually like quickly, you know, scoops over to maybe there's like this booth that actually where you operate the Ferris wheel, and he kind of scoops over to it just to get in a little bit of cover, and he looks up at her and he just sees waving, and then thinking there's going to be a dog bark, like, bark, and it like echoes a little bit, and some stragglers from the back of the pack start wandering our way, and Torka sees it. Is he going to help us? Would Torka help us while we're doing our thing? I'm going to call it very likely. Or 23. Chaos. Nice. Okay. But he looks, he says, hey, Jesse, man, I got this. Just remember, you owe me one. And he holds out his spear. And Jesse's kind of a little bit, you know, like, well, he couldn't even kill a sitting walker, so I don't know how well he's going to do over there. But as it is right now, he's just an NPC. So we don't have to roll too much. We just have to know that he's going to be doing something, taking out them straggling walkers. And after the dog barks, we know that that is CC up there. We came with two people, though, so she might be a little bit weird on that, but I'm sure she can see us looking down at us. She knows who we are. It's just hard for us to see her that high up, like the sun is beaming in our faces. So Jesse goes over. He's already right there, so he goes inside of the thing that runs the Ferris wheel. Probably big old lever. Fake question. Is it just a big lever to make the Ferris wheel go? Because we're just guessing that. How about better question? When we pull the lever, does the Ferris wheel start running to help her get down? Because I'm guessing that she's stuck on the Ferris wheel and she can't get down because she's stuck way up high, right? I'm going to call it likely. It'll probably just start turning. 29, yes. Okay, so when we pull the lever, it starts rotating. But I imagine as we turn it on and pull the lever, the lights start blinking and it starts making music. And she's turning and she's like, no, no. She's like, don't do that. And all the Zeds that were at the gate now turn around. And Torka's probably like, oh, Jesse, man, we can't. Nah, man. He like stabs one in the head. He's like, I can't take them all. And he's like, oh, yeah, I know it. So then what do we do? Okay, I would say this is a swarm that we're dealing with. And so as this machine starts going, the Walking Dead RPG core set has some rules for random swarm attacks. So when the swarm makes an attack, roll a d6 and compare it to the table below. So we're going to roll a d6 and see what happens. Roll. Block. The swarm blocks off all escape routes. All rolls for mobility or stealth need one extra success to succeed. So they spread out. And they get closer. They get like all the way around where the grate is. So the way that we came in, and by the way, there's water all over the ground, which we still don't know why, but there's like a big ass puddle. And so now they're all walking and sloshing to this puddle, and the water is just starting to turn red from all of the blood from all these Zeds walking through. And I even picture funnily, some of them fall down the hole, you know, as they're all just coming. They're blocking off. There's no gate exit. There's no backwards exit. And by this time, Jesse and Torka are backing up. They're like getting inside the small little gate that goes around the Ferris wheel. And they're like going up the stairs and they're, you know, keeping their backs and they're looking. And right around this time, I think jumping out of, because no one's stopping the ride, jumping out of one of the carts on the Ferris wheel is Cece and her dog. And I picture Cece, she's not really a survivalist like Jesse. Jesse's survivalist, Torka's a traveler. She's kind of a nerdy doctor type. And I think when we create our character, if we even get to, we're going to be creating it via doctor archetype. And so she's a little bit nerdy. She's got glasses. I picture she has like a ponytail of like amber kind of hair, like brown eyes, real short, small. You know, she's not that large. She's probably wearing just like some basic clothes. They don't really have much blood or anything on them because she doesn't really get down and dirty in anything, right? Then I'm sure she's wearing a backpack that just has like mechanical equipment in it that she came here to collect. And so she steps out and Jesse turns and he goes, what is a fun one-liner that's like? He's like, I wish we could have met on better circumstances. And she goes, samesies, I'm Cece. He goes, Jesse, now how do we get out of here? I mean, first off, they're all going to run around to the other side of the Ferris wheel. Like the opposite side of where all the walkers are coming. They're all going to run around to the other side and hop over the little fence. They're going to do it as fast as they can to get away from these guys. We're going to make mobility checks, at least for me. Zero successes. So Jesse's tired and soaked in nasty water. He's having a hard time moving. So by the time we get over this gate, the zombies are behind us. Like, they're already right there. We didn't get very far. And we start running forward. And we're going to scout with our wits to see if we can see some other kind of escape here. We got one success. So as we're looking around, do we see... I'm going to fake question this. I'm going to call it likely. Do we see a way out? 17, which is yes. There's nothing on the chaos roll. I wanted to do that roll just to see if chaos would come up and we might see the raiders, because those are still a threat here, right? Good lord. You know what? So we see an exit. I think what a better question would be, since it popped into my head, we need to know now. Do the raiders show up? We'll do a fake question and we'll do unsure 50-50. That's a 7, which is an exceptional yes. Discovery meaning descriptions. Neatly shocking. Oh, so it's neat. Everyone's shocked when this happens. Because as they're just about to reach out and get one of us, actually, because we failed our mobility roll, I want to roll one more time on the random swarm attack before we move on to what's happening here. Single attack. A single walker attacks your PC or an NPC with a single attack. Roll a random die to see who is targeted. Because I have an idea. Okay, just roll a die, huh? We're going to do a D4. So 1, 2, or 3. We've got Jesse, Torka, CC. And then the dog. That's a 1. Okay. So one of them tries to reach out and attack Jesse. And we're going to do a quick close combat just to see if he handles it well. We got 1 success. So as it reaches out and tries to get Jesse, he's like swinging down his axe. He's about to take it out. Then with our exceptional yes, we hear a silenced bullet. And it just, in the head of the zombie, just, excuse me, explodes. And we're like looking around. We're like, what? And then all the other zombies, one by one, just start getting taken out. All of these zombies just getting shot. There's like bullets going off. There's some arrows. And we're all backing up. Because by the way, we did see an exit. That was a yes that we did get on that exit. So first of all, descriptions on that exit. Mysteriously interesting. Thanks for that. The exit that Jesse sees is a giant like mouth that you would see at the fairgrounds. And it's like its tongue is like a slide. And it's high up. There's a ladder on the side of it. And so it's interesting. He sees the ladder. And so he thinks we can climb up the ladder and hop over the fence to get out of here. And so as all this is happening, they're backing up towards it. And Jesse's like, follow me, follow me. And all these zombies are just getting taken out. And as the guys look up, Torka steps forward, holding his spear. Because he sees the raiders. There's a bunch of food stalls. And the raiders are on top of them. And as Torka steps forward, he's looking menacingly. He wants vengeance against these guys. Honorable motivation on these raiders. Art investment? Motivation, art investment. I think as we look, we can see all these raiders. And there's some kind of a clan of some kind. We actually have some roll charts on that. But first, while my brain's still on it, they step forward as we see them. They all have like blood and like markings on like armor that they're wearing. Some of them wearing like old rusty metal. Some of them have like football pads with like spikes on them. But on their chests and stuff, there's like weird markings and like letters and, you know, like things written in blood on their faces and stuff. And he calls out with the megaphone. And he's like, I want to do evil villain voice. You're all lucky that I was here. Me and the gang just saved your life. That's what you get for coming into our territory. You see, we own this fair. This is ours.
Art investment.
We kill. We collect their heads. We make drawings of their heads to put up on the wall in our base. If you don't want your head to be a drawing, I suggest you get out of here.
That's kind of evil, right? With art investment? I was trying to figure out a way to make art investment evil. Ay, ay, ay. Okay, it's Torka steps forward. He's going to say something. Jesse puts his hand on his shoulder. And he's like, I know you don't know a lot, but we're outnumbered. We need to get settled. We can come back for these assholes. We'll get more guns. We'll get better cars. More people. And we will come back for them. I promise you that, Torka.
And he looks back at Jesse. And this is the big role. Is Torka officially going to be joining the party? Because right now, Torka is either going to accept Jesse's offer, or Torka is going to say no, and he's going to run out there and try to do something about something. So we're going to make a fake question, and I'm going to try to make it easy for him. I'm going to call it nearly certain he's going to accept Jesse's offer. Yes. Thank goodness, because we like Torka. He seems cool. And so Torka looks back at Jesse, and he nods. And they both climb up the ladder. All of them do. Of course, Jesse's carrying the dog, which we're going to talk about what the dog looks like in a minute. But before we move on, there's a couple things we need to roll on, because this guy is going to yell out to them, like, tell everyone that this faction owns this area, you know, something like that. And so we need to make some rolls here. Factions. I'm just going to roll once on each of these and see what we can get from it. Faction encounter, faction asset, faction issues, faction leadership, faction size, and faction type. All the important ones. So from the bottom. Okay, so faction type. Outcasts, forced together because no one else wanted them. Either in a society before the outbreak or the world after, they could be a group of asylum runaways, prisoners, homeless people, or people who are just plain unlikable. I'm wondering now, because we got the same one for the car faction, I wonder if these guys are related. They absolutely could be. Factions changed, nothing happened. Faction size. So what we can see right now, it looks like 6 to 10 is what we can see from these guys. Their faction leadership is a tyrant that controls everything. The issue that they have is someone in the group is a victim of the other's aggression, whether it be verbal or physical, so the tyrant is kind of like, you know, and this faction has a lot of food. Makes sense, because they're here on the food stalls. They're taking control of the food stalls, so there must be, like, backups of oil for all the corn dogs, you know, other kinds of stuff like that. They want all the food here. So we learned a little bit about that. Now we need a name for this faction, which we didn't name the car faction, but maybe there was a reason for that, and that's because they're a part of this faction, which I guess we'll learn about more later. Name part. Location, yeah. Location, yeah. Let me think for a second. I really like Yah, like Y-A-H, like as if their leader, the tyrant's name is Yah. I know that's stupid, but maybe it's like a nickname. Everyone just calls him Yah, because they all just say Yah to him whenever, like, he asks them to do something. Everyone just calls him Yah. And maybe it's like, you know, from some old and, like, divine, like, he thinks that, like, he's the new leader of the new world, and he's, like, grown from ancient times or something. So it's used to, like, justify his harsh rulings of Yah, symbolizing power or divine right, like Yahweh. You know what I mean? Like the Jewish, you know, Yahweh. So maybe it's like Yah. Everyone calls him Yah. So maybe this faction is just called Yah's Covenant. So it's like a cult. And everyone's like following Yah. I love the idea of that. Yah. And obviously they like art, they're collecting food, and they're collecting cars, possibly. As they all yell, yeah, 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 yeah. We climb up the ladder slowly. We hop over the fairgrounds, the fence, to get to the other side to get out. And at this point, I think Torka is like, okay, Jesse, I'm gonna go get my van. And then we're gonna follow you, okay? Well, I'm gonna follow you. And CeCe's like, we got a lot to talk about. I'm gonna ride with you, Jesse. And he goes, okay. I've never had dogs in my car before. But I guess it's the end of the world. Might as well make exceptions. They quickly hurry out to their cars in the parking lot and drive out of this place towards Jesse's hometown to finally get back with Aiden. And what I'm going to do really quickly, I'm going to do it off camera, and then I'm going to come back, is I'm actually going to make character sheets for Torka and for CeCe, and I'm going to figure out what kind of dog I want her to have. I want you guys in the comment section to name the dog. All right, we need a fun name for this dog. Maybe what it's good for, maybe what it does. I mean, what is the backstory of the dog? Is it a rescue? Did she have it as a puppy? I don't know. If you want some dog details, that's what I'm talking about. Comment section full of dog stuff. Okay, I've created both of their characters. We've got Torka here. He is the archetype of the nobody. He's got two issues, afraid to speak his mind, and he doesn't care if he lives. His drive is that life is an adventure, which makes sense to what we rolled up before. He's a 22-year-old traveler, loves music, and is great with tech. One of his better skills is his tech skill and his wits. He has two talents. One of them is sensitive, so he can actually use his scout to kind of do insight checks on people. And also, he's a techno babbler, which means that he could use tech instead of manipulation whenever he discusses complex matters. It's two important things. Inventory, he's got a spear, he's got binoculars, and he has his van. Now we've got Cece Andrews. She is the scientist. She has three issues. She understands the world with logic instead of emotions. So things are kind of hard for her to understand because she's very logistical, obviously. She's awkward, like we talked about before, and she's kind of morally flexible. I feel like she is down to do anything as long as it means that she could like save the world or save her people. You know what I mean? Her drive is her fear of dying. She wants to survive. She wants to live and she wants to make things better, right? So her better skill is, she's got medicine, empathy. She also has tech, scout, and survival. She really doesn't have anything for strength at all. Now her talent is her animal companion. So you have a pet that you can rely on. Once per session, you get a +1 on a dice roll where it is evident that your pet is of use. So she can use dog one time per session to get an extra +1. Now she also has Center of the Storm. So she managed to keep calm in an extremely dangerous situation. So she doesn't take stress when walkers see her. Obviously what just happened with the Ferris wheel, that makes sense to me. Now for her stuff, she has a pistol or revolver. That's what we rolled on. So thankfully we have that. She also has a flashlight and basic medical gear. It's going to help us in the future. Now we also have dog. Dog has red bandana. Dog needs name. So leave names for dog down in comments. All right, dog will be good. But our whole party over here is finally kind of filling out. We still have Aiden. I haven't done his character sheet yet, his stats yet. We've still got Jesse. So we've got our whole team here. And hopefully I'll be able to put together a thumbnail with all of them on it because the party is finally together, right? Very cool stuff. And as these guys drive off back over the next town, that's where we're ending today's episode. So thank you guys so much for watching. I'm loving doing this series so far. I love all the feedback we've been getting on it. So thank you. Please leave comments if you have ideas about anything. Yeah, thanks for joining me on this adventure. It's just been so much dang old fun. For real. And as I said at the top, if you want to pick up The Walking Dead or anything like this, you can use our Drive Through RPG link to help support the show. And I did do a review of The Walking Dead Universe's TTRPG. If you want to see my full thoughts on it, my Is It For You review should be up soon. I don't know. Anyways, thank you guys. Subscribe here, please. And I have been Turk. Take a seat on the couch and roll for initiative. Thanks for watching.